Just want to say, Gwen, it's phenomenal to have you back with us this morning. Gwen, we're glad to see you this morning. Our guys pray. And I'll tell you, on a Wednesday, our gang really prays, don't they? They pray hard and pray for you. We'll continue to pray for you. And Mike's vacation is over, so. Thanks so much. That's terrific. If you did not get an outline, you raise your hand. Chuck would be happy to give you one. And open your Bibles if you have one. Bring your Bible to church, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We want to finish up a little bit this morning, and I want to give you your assignment ahead of time. Your assignment for next week, well, don't wait till next week to do it. I guess this starts next week, right? You want to start reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll spend several sessions where it's going to talk about what happens when a believer dies. A lot of people think you just die and go to heaven. I'm going to give you a different perspective. You might be surprised, or you're going to say, I always believe that. Okay, where are we going when we die? Where are we going? We're going to go be with the Lord. Heaven one day is going to come down to earth. New heavens, new earth. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to get into that a little bit, and I'm looking forward to digging in there with you. It's going to be fun. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16, 17, and 18 again this morning. Let me read it to you, then we will look at this a bit, introduce it and look at it. Paul says, so we do not lose heart. We do not allow ourselves to become discouraged. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all what? Comparison. You can't even think it through. As, verse 18, we focus on, we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, they're passing away, but the things that are unseen are what? Eternal, permanent. You know, there are several calls that cry out to a disciple of Jesus Christ every time exposure to the Word of God takes place. When the Word of God is being either read or taught, there are calls that go out to you. And let me list a couple of them. Number one, there's a call to heed or to pay attention. When the Word of God is being read or explained, God is speaking. God speaks through His Word, right? Eternal truth. There's the call to obey. And this gets tough sometimes because it's on God's terms that we obey, not on our terms. Sometimes we do what we like to do and we kind of leave the rest like in the book of Judges. And there's a continual call to realign our lives, to think God's thoughts, to see everything from God's point of view. And that takes effort. That's not going to happen automatically. I need this. You need this. We need this on a daily basis, the call to realign our thinking, to think in line of what God thinks. And too often, we can end up treating the Word of God like many people treat sporting events or concerts. You know, we go to a sporting event or a concert. I'm going to the Dover one this afternoon. We watch, we cheer, and then what? We go on to the next one, right? Next, change the channel. Sometimes we listen to Bible messages, we listen to podcasts, we read books, and they're all good, but sometimes it's just on to the next one without meditating or putting into action what we need to know is true. And that's one of the reasons I get excited about Pastor Jeff Barbieri, because he has an incredible passion to take what's taught from the Word of God and apply it and see lives change. And so he's going to teach us more a little bit about that. Now the challenge, or let me put it this way, a challenge with our passage this morning is that when the Apostle Paul is speaking, he's basically dealing with himself as an apostle. So the challenge is to apply the principles and see what Paul's explaining. I want to give you three words this morning. As we look at these three verses, let me give them to you right up front, and then we're going to look at four contrasts as well. Three words. The first word is fact, the fact, F-A-C-T. Second word is the reason in verse 17. And the third word is the perspective. I know they don't alliterate, but we're okay. Okay, verse 18. So the fact, the reason, the perspective. You got that? All right. So, and again, as I said, we'll give you four contrasts as we go along this as well. Now, before we jump in to the text in front of us, I want you to look for a moment with me at another guiding principle. It all ties in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, 13. This is a marvelous description for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a marvelous identification verse. And there's a lot you could say here. Just let me read it and say one or two things. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it speaks of God's sovereign work on your behalf, or our behalf. It says, He, that's God, has delivered us, that's believers, from what? The domain of darkness. Who's running the domain of darkness? Who's in charge of that? The evil one, right? Satan. He has delivered us from Satan's domain, or Satan's kingdom, if you will, and he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. What Paul is saying here is that when you got saved, you got rescued not from Roman imperial might in those days or from any other human agency, but from the invisible, strong, powerful realm of evil. We were once prisoners and we were once dead, and God changed all that through the cross. When you got saved, you were passively transferred to Christ's kingdom. And now you can experience, and that's why I want to read this before I go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now that you've been transferred to a better kingdom, you can experience continual spiritual transformation. That's a great thing. And a couple reminders here. You know this, but we got to remind ourselves is Satan is a sore loser, and he's going to keep at it. He's not going to say, well, I lost another one. That's okay. I have a lot more. He doesn't think that way. He wants you back. And he knows he can't get you back because you're bought with the blood of Christ and you're sealed by the Spirit until the day of redemption. But he's going to do all he can to get you to think like you belong to his kingdom. You get that part? He wants to get you to think like you're still part of his realm. And so a choice I need to constantly make, and you do too, is to live under Christ's kingdom. Because it's easy to live under the old ways. It's easy to go back. There's no room for passivity here. That's the constant choice we have to make. So let's go to Roman numeral 1. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this morning. And thanks for being here. This is great. First word, the fact. Paul says, verse 16, so we do not lose heart. Here's the fact why we're not going to lose heart. Why we will not allow ourselves to become discouraged. He says, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. That's a fact. Paul refused to drift into discouragement or lose heart. That's a decision for him and for you and I as well. Here's the contrast. You know this. The contrast, Paul is contrasting his outer man with his inner man. He's contrasting his outer man with his inner man or his inner self. Now, watch this here. I had to change some things here because it's easy to read this and come to a different conclusion. Paul's outer self, he said here in verse 16, is wasting away. We just read that, right? Wasting away means to spoil, to decay, and maybe a better translation of this would be destroyed, to be destroyed. I said something several weeks ago. I'm going to change my mind here, right? I don't believe in context, Paul is talking about aging or his body failing. That's true. Romans talks about that. You know, we're aging. We're the whole creation is groaning. I don't think that's what he's talking about here at all. I believe what Paul's saying is that his outer man, his physical body is being destroyed, not a soul. His body is physically being destroyed due to his suffering for the gospel. He's talked about that already in chapter 4 many, many times. He's mentioned what he's been through and what he's going through. You study Paul's life in the book of Acts and the epistles, and what's it talk about? I don't know if this gets projected or not, But what are some of the things that Paul has been through that are destroying his body? What has he been through?
Beatings.
Jail. Shipwreck. Is that on the screen? That's a good answer. Yeah, you're right. Shipwreck. Right, what else? Hunger. Thirst. Abandonment. Super anxiety. And you get to 2 Timothy. If you don't believe me, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Not now, I'm not going to turn there. But Paul, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul's about to lose his life in dungeon for the gospel. And he just has a very small group of people with him. Everyone's abandoned him. You know, you think he's some apostolic superstar. He's not. He's not. And he mentions a lot of this in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. You know, some of our missionaries are going through and have gone through this kind of a thing for the gospel. I can't talk about everything Carrie Kynards has been going through. And I can't on live stream. Can't do it. Put her at risk. But she's been through some things for the sake of the gospel that have made her sick, have put her physical body at risk. And wow, when I got it here, I thought, wow, that's hard. My own son-in-law, Josh Jensen, Bible translator over there in Cambodia. You can see his picture is up there in room we're going to next. He's frail. And he's going through some things that if he were here in the United States, he wouldn't be going through. Why? For the gospel's sake. For the gospel's sake. And there's other missionaries. I met a couple over there that are sick. And they're putting themselves in harm's way for the glory of the gospel, because they know God loves people. They love people. They want to get the message out. Paul's sufferings were not fatal, yet they were depleting and destroying his body. That's his outer man. You see that in context? If not, go back and read that chapter again. Then he talks about his inner self, that which we cannot see, is in the continual process of being renewed. And the word renew means to renew again. It's like we grew this elephant plant this last summer. You know those elephant plants, those big bulbs, and they grow into these things. And whenever one of the leaves dies, another one grows up. It's in the house right now. It doesn't like being in the house in Dover. It wants to go outside. Can't go outside yet. But that thing's in constant process of renewal. Spiritually, Paul is developing, revitalizing, being refreshed, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ deeper and deeper and deeper. And let me give you a principle here. If you are serious about spiritual renewal, and I believe many of you are, this could involve suffering. You need to decide, even again this morning, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ wholeheartedly, a new call to surrender. A new call to surrender to serve Christ, which may entail suffering. And that's a characteristic or description of servants God uses. One man wrote, "In times of persecution, the soul advances." That's good, isn't it? That's good. First word, the fact. Second word is, Paul will give the reason. Verse 17, and here's another paradox statement kind of a thing. He says in verse 17, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Let me read that again. That's crazy. He says, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Paul, you're crazy. What do you mean this light momentary affliction? What did we just say he was going through? Stoned and left as dead. Remember that? They left him as dead. Shipwreck, all this stuff. Did he know about this when he signed on to be an apostle? No, what did Jesus, the resurrected, ascended Christ, say to the apostle Paul when he saved him? He said, I'm going to show you how much you're about to what? Suffer for my name's sake. That doesn't fit in with my American Christianity. My American Christianity says what? You believe in Jesus, what? Everything's going to be great. Your marriage is going to be great. You'll never get cancer. On and on and on and on. Everybody will love you. Your neighbors are really going to love you. I think some of my neighbors love you. I don't know. Paul, He's not crazy. I'm just saying that. Verse 17. He has to be kidding. You know, when he was in dungeon, and we watched that dramatic presentation, remember several years ago, of Paul in the prison. It wasn't like the American prisons where prisoners could go on strike and have rights and all that stuff. I mean, it was beyond bit. Two contrasts here. Let me give them to you. First contrast, he says, momentary versus eternal. Momentary versus eternal. This light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Momentary versus affliction. And what's he saying to the church? He's saying that present sufferings, no matter how bad they are, do not last forever. Last week, while we were enjoying relatively nothing, I was texting back and forth to my relatives in central New Jersey and watching their snow pile up. Because cell phones are great, aren't they? You can watch this. And my brother Dan ended up with two. Did you get a lot of snow up there? Yeah, you did too, Paul. Okay, good for you. They were getting like, he said 2 feet. He was measuring 2 feet, on. But you know what? In a couple days, it was gone. We, Sue and I, spent 4 years studying in Dallas, Texas. We just had a great time down there. But there's nothing like a Texas thunderstorm. You know, there's nothing like it. I mean, it's bad up here at times. But when you get one of those Texas thunderstorms coming in, no matter what time of the day it is, everything turns black. It's just amazing. You don't know what's going on there. And the lightning, and everything's bigger and better in Texas. You know that, don't you? You know that about Texas. It's just amazing. And I remember one day being in chapel down at the school, and this storm broke out. I remember Dr. Ryrie getting up at the podium and saying something about this, not the end of the world. Don't worry, guys. But these things are bad. These things are terrible. But you know what? You know what? They won't last forever. They don't last there. Remember a couple years ago when we had that flash flood up in Upper Dover? Remember that? And I couldn't get to my house. It was so bad. I wanted to go home. I was here at the office. And I went past, that's Taxville, and I couldn't get past the Garber Farm. You just couldn't get past that. So I went, what's the side road? Is that Dairy Road? Is that what that is? I couldn't go up Dairy Road. It was flooded. So I took Carlisle home. And by Weiss, it was just a massive flood. And I made a mistake of rolling down my window in a Toyota and going through very, very slowly when some guy with a big pickup truck went the other way and gave me a bath. It wasn't funny, man. I just like, you know, Toyotas are great. You can't destroy them, right, Jason? They're great cars, Camrys. So I got home. I couldn't get near the house, and it was bad. This is before my leg issue. So I got out in the water, and I don't know if I put my boots on or not, but the water was, it was about this yay high, okay, just in the street, and I was walking around. It was just absolutely amazing, and I came that Sunday, told you about that, and Chuck, 95% of the time is nice to me. About 96% of the time is nice to me. That particular Sunday, he was just ugly. He said, don't you ever do that again. If you fall in the sinkhole, we'll never find you. Remember that? I'm telling you the story. We have it on film. You have to see it. Or on phone, whatever the thing is. You have to see it to believe it, because when the rain stopped within a couple hours, just about everything was what? Bone dry again. In fact, during the middle of the storm, if you had a canoe, we could end up in New Jersey. Just get up and keep going, you know? But the storms don't last forever. Say that with me. The storms do not last forever. Praise God. Paul's saying present suffering, no matter how bad it is, compared to eternity, just a blip on the screen, all right? Second contrast, light versus fullness of glory. And the word glory here has to do with weightiness. Light versus weightiness, fullness of glory. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Light in comparison, insignificant. Glory that goes beyond that of Moses. And the point he's making here, or one of the points Paul is making here, is that suffering for Christ now will result in greater glory, far beyond all comparison. And why does he call it light? Because of, as Brian was leading through those wonderful hymns this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ took the full brunt of it all on the cross for us. Several years ago now, everything's several years ago, I had a problem with a tooth. And so I went to where I don't usually like to go to, my favorite dentist. And so I went to him, and I expected him to say, no problem, everything's okay. He didn't say everything's okay. He says, you got a problem. He says, I can't fix it. I thought, oh, I thought you could fix everything. So he sent me to some other fancy guy who has a little sign. He does a root canal. You know those guys? What are those guys called? Yeah, him too. And I'm sitting I'm sitting in the waiting room. I'm shaking thinking about it. You know, I'm sitting in the waiting room, and I'm reading this guy's bio, and it talks about the vineyards he owns and all the wine he likes to drink. I said, this is going to be a lot of fun. Okay, so I finally get in the chair, and he comes in. You know, the lights are bright. There's other people in the stalls getting their things done. I'm thinking, root canal, man, that's like eternal punishment. What is that about? So he comes in. He takes some pictures. He comes back. He says, I have some good news and some bad news. So go ahead. He says, the good news is this is only going to cost you about $35 because I can't do the root canal. You're in bad shape. You got to get that tooth extracted. So that's what? So I walked out of there. Then you have to go to another guy. What do you call a doctor who takes a tooth out? Surgeon. I had to find that. So you probably made the appointment for me. So I go to the surgeon's thing, make an appointment, and he knows how happy I am to be there. He can see it on my face. The joy of the Lord is not there, okay? And I'm sitting in the waiting room. There's all these other kids there waiting to get their wisdom teeth extracted so they can get on with their braces. And I'm sitting there, and Mr. Sutter, come on in here, okay? They put me in this high chair. It was really high, bright lights, nurse come in, all that kind of thing. And here comes the doctor. Here comes the doctor. And he knows I don't want to be there. And so he comes in. And he says, give me your arm. I gave him my arm. And he squeezed it a little bit. I could hardly feel it. And he said, what I'm going to do to you is not going to even hurt this much. What he didn't tell me is the needle was. Dr. Seitz, I love the guy. He was great, man. I'll sing his praises. I could hardly feel it. He said, it's not even going to hurt this much. It's not going to hurt that much. He didn't put it in Pauline, 2 Corinthians 4 terms, but he was saying, this light affliction is going to be glorious. He didn't give me the tooth to put under my pillow, so I didn't get any money for it, okay? But he was right. He was right. I asked him, when are you going to pull the tooth out? He says, it's out. It's out. I mean, man, those are my kind of guys. Thank you, Dr. Ann Gotti. I appreciate that. Fact, reason, verse 17, is just light, no matter how bad it is. It's just light in comparison of glory. And then the third word I want to give you is the word perspective. The word perspective, verse 18. And this is what we want to pray that the Holy Spirit does in our lives, because we really need to have this perspective, all of us. And you're not going to get it one time. It's a continual growing in grace kind of a thing. But he says, as we look, as we focus not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are, they're passing away, they're transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And the fourth contrast here is simply temporary seen, if you're taking notes, versus eternal, which here is unseen. And that's Paul's focus here. Temporary seen versus eternal unseen. That's his focus. And what Paul is telling us here is that if you focus on what only can be seen, discouragement will drag and discourage you, because it's way too easy to walk by sight, live by sight, think by sight. The 1968 mega hit by the Dramatics was what? Do you remember what the Dramatics sang in 1968? Some of you know it. Well, I'm not going to sing it for you. They sang a song which is in contrast to what Paul's saying. They sang, "What you see is what?" Remember that song, Don? Remember that? That's not true. That's not true. Paul says, what you can't see is what you will get, what's reality here. Dr. Swindoll says, the secret to a Christian's motivation for authentic ministry vision is to keep Paul's point in verse 18 in mind. Point, what we can see now is only temporary, is passing away. Every now and then, this stuff appears on YouTube. It's amazing what appears on YouTube. I don't know how they do that. But every now and then, they'll do an expose on some once crowded mega mall. You know, some thriving mall. Remember those things? Now a ghost town. Roof leaking, trees growing through the thing. Every now and then, they'll do a report on some once thriving city or town that once was just thriving, but now gone. Every now and then, they'll show you a junkyard where some of these ultra-expensive fancy cars are now rusting, and the list goes on and on and on. I was writing this and just kind of going over some of these notes where on the other day, and my sister Ruth texted me. I was going to bring it and read it to you. She texted me, and she reminded me that today, that particular day, was my father's extremely tragic death anniversary, and she was reminding me that that changed our lives forever, and it did, even though it's long ago now. And she reminded me in the text that we are fulfilling our father's dream who focused on the unseen. You didn't know my dad. He was a wild man. He's a wild guy. Love the Lord. And he invested his life in what you couldn't see. He invested in the eternal, and we can still see some of the fruit out there. Turn to one passage here, or listen as I read this illustration. You know it well, and this is what we want to see. Second Kings chapter 6, there's a little story here. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. I want to read just 15 to 19. Second Kings chapter 6 reminds us that we shouldn't walk by sight. We shouldn't walk by sight. There's an unseen realm. There's an eternal realm. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, and we're talking about the Elisha narratives here. It says in verse 15, when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? The man was panicking. He was panicking. We're done for. We're done for. And Elisha said, do not be afraid. Relax. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, he couldn't see that. He couldn't see that because he's walking by sight. Then, verse 17, Elisha prayed. He said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes, the spiritual eyes of the young man, and he saw and behold the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You go back home and read that whole story. Isn't that a great story? Isn't that a great story? The unseen realm. The unseen realm calls us to refocus. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things, what? Not seen. And goes on to explain that. You know, my wife is from upstate New York, the Fulton, New York, North Syracuse area, not far from, is that Lake Michigan up there? And they get this, is that Lake Michigan? What is it up there? Like Ontario, I don't know. I'm from Dover now. I just Upper Dover, Lower Dover. That's all. Lake. What was it? Lake Ontario. Lake Ontario. She took me to see that lake one day. I thought it was bigger than the Atlantic Ocean. Those things got waves and everything. And they have a snow effect up there all the time. It's just, man, they just have piles and piles of snow. They think nothing of it. And they don't close school. You come down here and, you know, they predict snow and we all panic. So she likes snow. And she likes to get out there when the snow softens up a little bit and build snowmen. You like to build snowmen? When the snow gets wet enough and you can roll it. So she built one last couple of weeks. She built this snowman, put a carrot and one of my good hats in it and all that. But in a couple of days it started warming up. And what happened to Mr. Snowman? It was a man. What happened to Mr. Snowman? And we felt bad about that because you go out there one moment and the carrot fell off his face and the head rolled off. And so you want to get some of that snow over here that the town left for us and kind of rebuild up Mr. Snowman, right? That's what a lot of us are doing with life. We're trying to build on something that we know is fading. You ever build a sandcastle by the shore? Or been to the beach when they're having these contests and these people build these elaborate structures. Then all of a sudden, one good wave comes along and what? That's it. You ever tried to stop a wave from coming? Can't do it. That's how we approach life sometime. We're trying to hold on to things that are just temporary. And in doing so, we neglect the eternal. As we approach the table this morning, and you have a few moments to meditate, think on the eternal. Think on the eternal. Time to refocus. Time to refocus. And as I said last, as the beginning of this, start reading 2 Corinthians 5 for next week as we get into what happens to the believer when they die. Exciting. Exciting. And Paul, unfortunately, somebody added all these chapter and verse divisions in our Bible. Paul just continues the discussion. It's not a new discussion. He's going to continue the discussion from chapter 4. Father, we so often are building sand piles, trying to keep our snowman in existence. When, Lord, we know these things are temporary, they're fading. And, Lord, we need to concentrate on things that matter. Thank you for the Apostle Paul who gave us an example in the midst of suffering. And may we, through the Spirit of God, be able to adopt that same perspective and live for Christ wholeheartedly while we have the opportunity to do so. We're thankful for your word. We ask that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, would do what only he can do in changing us. In Jesus' name, amen.